his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. We never know what happens at Holy Rosary from 1 minute to the next. I can just tell you that. If I told you just what happened just now, you wouldn't believe it. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It was totally unexpected, and God did a great thing. Well, you know, today we're going to be talking about the power of God. That power of God that has been promised to us by Jesus Christ. That power that comes from the cross. And I want you to know there is no power shortage in the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no brownout in the cross of Jesus Christ. I want you to hear the words that the cross is all powerful. It is all powerful because the fruit of the cross is Jesus Christ. Where life was lost in the garden, life is gained on Calvary. Where life was lost in the garden, life was gained on Calvary. It was the Master's cross that brought reconciliation to the world. It was the Master's cross that brought the forgiveness of sin to the world. It was the Master's cross that brought peace through the proclamation of the cross and the celebration of the cross as the Eucharist. I tell you, there is more power in the cross of Jesus Christ than anyone could ever know or imagine. But I know that, you see, you might have all the power in the world in the cross, but if you do not exercise the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, nothing will happen. Faith appropriates the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith appropriates the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith appropriates the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe I will tell you what happened today, because, you know, it's just kind of a interesting thing. Just one day in the life of a parish priest. This morning, we prayed morning prayer and the office of readings together, because I have four priests living with me, one from Nigeria and two from Poland, and me, so that makes four altogether. So we prayed morning prayer and the office of readings, and it was wonderful. And Father Adam needed to go to Harvard today, and he was going to take the MBTA because he's starting a class. Now, Father Adam is from the Holy Land, and he's also Polish. So I said, I'll drive you to Cambridge. That's what I'll do. I will drive you to Cambridge. And I drove him to Cambridge, to the Theological Institute there of Harvard. And after I did that, I went down the street that I was on. And little did I know, there was Uville Hospital. Now, one of my parishioners is in Uville Hospital. He's a man that I really like. His name is Tony. And he's a real gruff man, but he's got a heart as big as himself. He's a real, I think he's just one of the best. And his wife, if he's the best, she's the best of the best. And I'm looking, I'm saying, that's Uville Hospital. I was wondering, how am I going to get to Uville Hospital today? Because I don't know even where it is. There it is. So I decided to park in a no parking zone, because that was the only place to park. And I went up and saw Tony and prayed with him, and we started to get him walking. He walked more today than he's ever walked in a while because he's had pneumonia. So I left, and I was praying that my car wasn't towed, and it wasn't. So I drive home. drive home to Winthrop, you know, listening to the news that the stock market went down 500 points yesterday. Well, the Lord told me that. Remember in 1997, he told me that there would be a world economic crisis of all the economies. He told me that. I saw the Titanic sinking, if you remember, and I saw that the Titanic was the church, and the lifeboat sent out the church sent out the lifeboat, and the lifeboats couldn't get the people on, and that the whole economic system would eventually fall into the sea, and that the church at that time was not ready to get the people on board. And the Lord told me in 1997 that my vocation was to get ready for this, because the salvation of many would depend upon it. Well, yesterday we saw the beginning. I don't think this is really it. I kind of think I have my own ideas. I know it will happen, but I just think this is just a blip right now. But that's my own thought. I don't think this is the real thing. Not yet. Anyway, I came home, and I sit down, and two priests are having breakfast. One a little bit of kielbasa, and the other one eggs. And they said, would you like some eggs? I said, no, not really today. I ate too much yesterday. And I said, but they had an English muffin, so I had an English muffin. Well, I'm eating my English muffin, I'm told there's someone waiting for me in the chapel. She did not have an appointment, but I finished my English muffins and went to see the person who was in the chapel. Now, this person I know, and she tells me her story. And I know it has to do with the demonic, and I start to read from the Passion of Jesus and the Resurrection of Jesus Christ from Matthew's Gospel. And she's doing all these contortions, but they're not going to bother me, because I'm going to proclaim the victory of the cross, because it's all about the cross. It's all about the blood. Satan was defeated on the cross, and no devil's going to get me upset today. So we started to read it, and then we started to pray and pray and pray. We prayed the fifth decade of the rosary, which is the death of the Lord Jesus, and part of the first decade of the glorious mystery, the resurrection. I tell you, God did something. That's God. Today's my day off. So, when I'm leaving the house, I see this man. I think he's a plumber. He's got this big truck, and he's listening to me. He says, you know who I'm listening to? He's listening to me on WEZE, because I'm on WEZE every morning, Monday through Friday at 11:15 in the morning and 9:45 in the evening and 3 in the morning. I said, I never heard of him. But you can hear the same person at 11:30 on WROL, 9:50 on the dial. I could tune in. I'm doing a live broadcast. And now I came here, and I couldn't get the blue box to work. So I decided to use the phone. That's my day. That's been my day. It's the beginning of the day, and my Lord, I want to tell you there is no power shortage in the cross of Jesus Christ. There are no brownouts in the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and the authority that has been given to the anointed one, Jesus Christ, is infinite. And you know what? The problem is we do not use it. Do you understand? It's that simple. We do not use it. So when you don't use it, you lose it. You don't know what's there. This was not my plan today. My plan was to drive Father Adam to Harvard and go home for a little while. There was the hospital that I was looking for. I couldn't not go see Tony. And I was amazed. I said, I had no idea the hospital was on this street. The Lord took me right through it. Then, in the parlor, we had a great deliverance. Now, this is just the beginning of the day. Oh, it started at about, my day started at 3:30 in the morning. Oh, I didn't get up to pray, no. I just opened my eyes, and those eyes were open until 5. And prayed a little, but went back to sleep until 7:45. Then we prayed morning prayer, and the rest I've told you about. I want to say, where would I be without the cross of Jesus Christ? Where would I be without the power of the blood of the Lamb, the power of His holy, awesome cross? Like, where would I be? The lady that came, her spiritual director, sent her to me. But you see, I would not do this in the room alone. Not because I'm afraid of any sexual repercussions that people might say. I'm not into that stuff. I'm not into fear, okay? I wanted the other priests to help me. I wanted them to be there. I wanted them to see the power of the priesthood and the power of the blood and of the cross. I wanted them to see that and to experience it rather than just to read about it. And I needed the backup of prayer. And I got the backup of prayer by these three holy priests. And I just want to say, this is a normal day in the day of a man that knows the power of the cross. You never know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. You never know what God is going to do for you, to you, and through you. It's really real. You never know, and it never gets boring. Because my Lord, the power of the cross is infinite. And it breaks Satan's back, it breaks sin's back, and it breaks the flesh and the world's back. But you have the faith to appropriate it. Where there is no faith, you do not appropriate the power of the cross. I believe that when we, by faith, appropriate the power of the cross, things begin to happen. I will tell you this, I do not look for these things to happen. I don't need to be dealing with demons. But you know what? When they present themselves, the priest must do what he needs to do. It's part of the ministry of the priest. The priest must do what he needs to do. And it's just like that. And so, that's what we did this morning. That's why I say to young men, I tell you, there is nothing more exciting than being a priest. Yesterday, I was a priest for 29 years. There is nothing more exciting than doing the will of the Father and joining with Jesus Christ, because it tells us in Mark's Gospel that He worked with them. It's the end of Mark's Gospel. Confirming the presence of God through the signs and through the wonders. But see, this should not only be the priest's job. This is the person that loves Jesus' job too. There should be activity. Because when I was a layperson, there was a lot of activity. I could never tell you today that God was not active in my life. since 1968, by the grace of God, only the grace of God, God has been active in my life since 1968. And you know, the activity is always an activity that will lead people to Christ. So important. So important. And, you know, for people who want to spend their life on Christ Jesus and upon God's poor people, I see no better vocation. No better vocation. But you see, I look for outlets to do ministry. I look for outlets because, you know what? Because people are in such need. Our major ministry is unto the Lord. Father, we praise you, we bless you, we worship you, and we glorify you. We could do nothing apart from you and apart from your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Our primary ministry is unto the Lord. He is the God of Israel, the God of the church. Our primary ministry is unto the Lord. Our secondary ministry is unto people. It's always second. And you know, sometimes I fall short of that. Sometimes my secondary ministry, which is unto people, overshadows my primary ministry unto the Lord. Prayer, worship. But you know, I'm still learning after 29 years. I'm still learning after 29 years because the Lord told me when I was 24 years ordained that I was just beginning. So I am a beginner for 5 years. My Lord, I thought I had begun in 1968, but if the Lord tells you you've just begun in, you know, 5 years ago, I'm going to say, okay, I've just begun. And you know, I've seen that new beginning as the power of God exercising himself like in ways I've never seen before. And it's so wonderful. But it all comes from the cross. Behold the cross on which our Savior died. Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world. Come, let us worship. Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world. Come, let us worship. Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world. Come, let us worship. This beautiful, beautiful song is sung every Good Friday. But I want to tell you, the cross must be venerated every day. The power must be appropriated every day. The glory of the crucified, risen Savior must be appropriated every day by faith. Oh, yeah, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, I don't venerate a piece of wood. I venerate the wood on which my Savior died. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. And he is wonderful. Can I just tell you today? I don't know where you're at. You might be under it all. You might be under it all that you feel like, you know, it's not going to work out. Things are really bad. Things are really perplexing, and I'm telling you, it is going to work out if you cling to Jesus. You must cling to him, even if you have to do it with your fingernails. Oh, I know the experience of clinging to Jesus, feeling sometimes that I'm going to let go. Oh, but I know the experience of clinging to Jesus, even with my fingernails, and I don't have fingernails, but I know the experience of clinging to Jesus. There is no one like him. There is nothing like the crucified, risen Lord. He is amazing. He is wonderful. He sets the captives free. He heals our bodies. He forgives our sins. He is the captain of the army of God. He is awesome. And you know, even though you feel like you're under it today, you've got to just raise your head and praise his name. We give you praise, O Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Lamb of God. We give you praise, Captain of the Lord's army. We give you praise for mounting the cross. We give you praise for conquering sin. We give you praise for conquering death. We give you praise for conquering Satan. We give you praise for conquering cancer. We give you praise for conquering disease. We give you praise for being Jesus. We give you praise because you are the Father's only Son. We give you praise because you are the eternal Son of the Father. We give you praise and glory because your name is wonderful, because you are holy, and you are awesome, and you are this one only like you, O God, and that's you, Jesus. And we just want to be so close to you because, you know, there are people feeling today that they're not going to make it. But I tell you, Lord, I ask you to give them a hug. Let them find a penny today, a penny that says, in God I trust. And because it says, in God we trust, they will start to hold that penny, not as a good luck piece, but to trust the Lord, because there is a message on every penny. In God we trust, in God we trust, in God we trust. You must trust the Lord today. You might feel like you're going to not make it today, but trust the Lord. No matter what happens, trust the Lord. Do not turn back. Hold on to him. Cling to him. He is worthy. He hears your heart's cry. He knows what you're going through. You are not alone. He is with you. He loves you. He is lovely. He is awesome. He is Jesus. You are great. You do miracles so great. And there's no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. And there's no one else like you. There is no one else like you. So if today you fear that it's all going to fall apart, cling on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Let him know that you are in absolute need of his mercy. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He is ever present to help you. He is not just like everybody else. He is closer than a brother and closer than a sister. Closer, 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 closer than your breath. And that's all I want to tell you today. I don't have much more to say than this. Tomorrow we will be at the Espousal Retreat House, and we will be having our revival tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You come to the Espousal Retreat House. Only going to be Wednesday this week. You don't come on Wednesday, you don't get there, because this is going to be our service for the week. Next week there will not be a service at all. I need a break. But this week, we will have a service at the Espousal Retreat House at 7 o'clock. You come when you can. Come when you can. Come when you can. Come as early as you can. This is what God is doing. He's doing a new thing. It's time for people to get behind what God is doing. Everybody's talking about revival. I'm seeing it happen, and the people who talk about revival don't come. Isn't it funny? It's the way it is. You know, we want revival, 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 revival. And when it happens, the people who pray for revival don't come. It's beyond me. It's totally beyond. But, you know, it's none of my business, I guess. Do the best I can. I know tomorrow night at the Espousal Retreat House, we will be there by the grace of the living God. And the telephone number is easy, 781-209-3101, 781-209-3101, 781-209-3101. I also need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. We cannot do these broadcasts unless you help us. Our bills are about $350,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. And by God's grace, we've got it every single year. This January 21st or 22nd, we will be on radio 25 years. It is a great grace and a great miracle. Never thought that that could ever happen. But with God, all things are possible. Our mailing address is simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. If you're under it, I want to tell you, cling to the cross. He is faithful. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.